Aleichem, welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Shemini. Parshas Shemini has, of course, its most famous section, the death of Nadav and Avihu on the day of the Chanukah Samishkan. You find there in Perek Yud, Pasuk Dalet, Vayukra Moshe El Mishol Vel Tzafon B'nei Uzi El Doid Aharein. Now Moshe Rabbeinu called the cousins of Nadav and Avihu. Vayomer Aleihem, he said to them, Kirvu Su'es Acheichem Eis B'nei HaKadosh V'michutz L'Machna. That you should be the ones that carry the bodies of Nadav and Avihu outside of the Machna. Normally, he would have called their brothers to carry them out, their brothers Elazar and Isamar. So the Balei Tosfos here bring from Teres Kainan, bring a brisa that says the following. He can't. From here we learn, Sheina Kainan Mitamim Lumeisim. The Kainan are prohibited from being Mitamim to a dead body. Sharei Elazar and Isamar Lainin Olam. Because the brothers, Elazar and Isamar, were not told to carry out the bodies of Nadav and Avihu. The cousins who were not Kainim were called. So from here we see that Kainim are not Metabal Mason. This is what it says in Taras Kain. The Balei Tosfos asks two kashas on this. First of all, what does it mean from here we learn that Kainim are not Metabal Mason? The fact that Kainim are not Metabal Mason is alive in the Torah. Menefesh lo yitam ava amav. That Kainim are not allowed to be Metabal. It's not Mikan, it's not something we learn from here. Secondly, he asks that Elazar and Isamar were Kainim Hedyaitim. They were not Kainim Gedailim. And a Kain Hedyid is not only allowed to, but as a mitzvah, to be Mitame to a brother that passed away. So, what are you saying? Mikan, Shein Kainim Mitame or Mason? Kainim are allowed to be Mitame to Mason if the Mason is a brother. The Balei Tosfos answer with the following teretz. Nor a Kain Hedyid is allowed to be Metamei to his brother. A Kain Gadol is not. From here we learn that a Kain Hedyid, on the day that he's inaugurated, the first day that he does the Avodah as a Kain Hedyid, on that day he has a din of a Kain Gadol. He has all the halachas of a Kain Gadol. And he's not Metamei l'Kreivav. So that the Taras Kainim used to say, Mikan, Shein Kainim Mitamim Lameisim, on the day that they begin to do the Avodah. And this is actually in the Pasuk, because the Parsha ends after Elazar, after Mishol and Al-Safan are told to carry out the bodies. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Kainim, Vayemer Moshe to Aharon Ula Elazar Uli Samar Bono. And he commands them not to behave in a manner of Avelus, Rashechem al Tifro, Bigdechem Moisef Raimu, etc. And the reason he gives it is the following. Ki Shemem Mishchas Hashem Aleichem. Because you have been anointed with the oil. Now that means that he's telling Elazar and Isamar, why are you not allowed to be in the Tame? Ki Shemem Mishchas Hashem Aleichem. Because you are anointed today to be Kainim Gedailim. On the day you are anointed, you are prohibited from being Mitame. So this is the aside of the Balei Tosfos, that on the day that one begins to do the Avodah, the Kain Hedyid has a din of Kain Gadol, and he's not allowed to be Mitame to anyone, even his seventh private. This aside of the Balei Tosfos is used by the Sfas Emes in answering Akasha regarding Hanukkah. On Hanukkah, we know that they were not allowed to use the Tamei oil. Miraculously, they found a jug of oil which had remained tar. And that, miraculously, burned for 8 days. The Tzvi Yeshua asks, that Tumah HaTribetzimah, that you're allowed to use Tamei oil when everybody is Tamei. So why did they need tar oil? The Sfas Emes, quoting his grandfather, Chiddush Erev, answers, that there, it was the day they were mechanech a new menorah. The menorah had been defiled. The Gemara says they constructed a new menorah. On the first day that the menorah was going to be used, it was a Chanukah for the menorah, actually a Chanukah for the whole Beis HaMikdash, which was being re-inaugurated. On the day of a Chinuch, everything has to be done in the perfect way. And therefore, something Tamei could Isaiah, Simon Payalis, we find that a Jewish child should not nurse from a non-Jewish woman, even though technically it's mutter. Chalav mitzvahs, kecholav Yisraelis, the milk, whether it comes from a Jewish woman or a non-Jewish woman, is kosher. Shulchan Aruch says, "Mekol makom lo yeniku tinuk min ha-mitzvus, im efshar b'Yisraelis." If there's an option, you should not use the cholov of a non-Jewish mother, the milk, the breast milk of a non-Jewish mother. The source for this, the Gra says, is Shmais Rabba. In Shmais Rabba, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not nurse from a non-Jewish mother, a non-Jewish woman, that is, who offered this child breast milk. And that's why the Pasuk says, "V'karasi l'cha eisha meinekes," at the end. His mother, a Jewish woman, ended up nursing him. And that's the source for the fact that we do not want our Jewish children nursing from anyone but a Jewish woman. In the Lev Avraham, Rav Weinfeld asks, on the contrary, by Moshe Rabbeinu, the language of the Medrash is, Tesha osu v'daber ha-shchina, the mouth that in the future will speak to the Shechina should not nurse from a non-Jewish woman. It seems that any other child could nurse from a non-Jewish woman. And he answers with this, you say, that when you start the chinuch of something, the beginning of something should be done with perfection. And just as a kohen hedyot, when he starts, should be like a kohen gadol with all of his halachas, the same thing a baby, when he begins his life, should begin in the manner of Moshe Rabbeinu. Should begin in as perfect a manner as possible. All this, the same you say, the chinuch should be in the most perfect manner. I'd like to move to something totally different. And that is something I saw in the Sefer Baharev Noam, the second volume of Baharev Noam, Parsha Shemini. This Sefer Baharev Noam is a Sefer of Piskei Halacha from Eretz Yisrael, and very interesting shailas. There's a shaila as follows. Because Parsha Shemini talks about kashrus, they bring in this parsha a question that was asked of Rabbi Yashiv. Somebody was investigating the kosher butcher stores in his area in Eretz Yisrael, and he discovered that late at night there was a truck that was bringing non-kosher meat from the territories driven by Arabs and delivering this non-kosher meat to the kosher butcher store. He discovered this, and he suspected that this truck was delivering to other stores as well, because the truck was loaded, and he spied a delivery made to this butcher store, which was only a portion of the load of the truck. And therefore, the assumption was that with further investigation, they would catch other butcher stores similarly selling non-kosher meat. However, he was faced with a dilemma. What should he do now? Today, he knows that butcher store A has non-kosher meat. Should he be mefarsim? Should he make an announcement as to what was discovered? If he makes that announcement, the Arabs that were delivering clandestinely will be careful to cover the tracks and not be discovered again. Or is it better that he not tell anyone today, give it another week, and discover the entire web of stores that was involved in this deception, and then be able to save many other people? Very difficult shaila. Do you allow people to be nichshol today so that in the future you can save many others? It's a very difficult question. And he brings that, he asks Rebbe Yashiv. Rebbe Yashiv said, we don't trade aveiros for aveiros. Right now you know they're selling trays of meat. You have to announce it, let them know, and whatever will happen in the future will happen in the future. An interesting psak. This was particularly interesting to me because I recall something I had read in my younger years in Winston Churchill's History of World War II. It was a very interesting section there with a dilemma which I remember reading and wondering how Bezdin would pass. Now listen to this. During World War II, the Germans communicated in code, And the code was a very difficult code to break. The Germans had created something they called the Enigma machine. It was a machine into which words were fed, and the code was deciphered in the machine, and it came out and decoded. So that this is the way the machine works. The British had somehow been able to produce a replica of the machine and were decoding German communication. They came upon the following communication. The Germans, who at that time controlled the skies, were planning to bomb a city in the south. A city named Coventry. And they were planning to bomb the city totally to dispirit the British. That city was not a city of any strategic importance. It would not be normal that the British would have air defense in that area. And for that reason, the Germans had selected that city and decided to destroy the city, of course killing its inhabitants. The British were faced with a dilemma. Should they throw up a defense in that city, thereby saving many lives? But in doing so, the Germans would realize that their code had been deciphered. And then, naturally, they would switch to a different code. Or should the British allow that city to be destroyed, its people killed, and in that way protect the secret that they had deciphered the code, and they would be able to use it in times that were more strategic in winning the overall war? Now that is something of a dilemma, quite similar to this one. Does a person say, I'll give up, I'll betray my confidence, give up the fact that I now am able to get their secrets in order to protect someone now? Or is someone allowed to protect his secrets to do a greater good later? This is Rabbi Yashar's Pesach. It's printed without Makairis. I wonder if somebody could come up with a good marker for this shot. So these are the two inyanim for today, the topic of the Balei Taisvis and the topic of Rabbi Yashar's Pesach. Let me end with a kasha. I have something of a problem. As you know, the sin of Nadav and Avihu had many facets to it. The Barbanel lists 10 possible interpretations of the sin of Nadav and Avihu. I'm going to focus on one, which is in the Gemara in Erev in Daf Samach Gimel. The Gemara says, "Le'nesu b'nei Aaron ela al shahiru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabba." The Nadav and Avihu died because they paskened the halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't ask. My darshu, the Gemara says, what halacha did they paskin? They darshin. It says, "V'nasu b'nei Aaron eishal mizbeach amru." They understood from a drasha that they should bring in their own fire in order to offer the ketores and not use eish min hashamayim. And in paskening that halacha, they should not have paskened, they should have asked Moshe Rabbeinu. And because of that, they were chayiv nisa. Where halacha is nei rabbi, chayiv nisa. I don't understand. What happens if the Nadav and Avihu die? Aaron HaKohen paskens a halacha without asking Moshe Rabbeinu. As a matter of fact, if he had asked Moshe would have paskened the reverse. Aaron HaKohen says that the Karban Rosh Chodesh should not be eaten by Kohenim who are Aveilim. Rather, it should be burnt. Moshe Rabbeinu disagrees. He says, what did you do? And when Aaron explains the rationale, Moshe Rabbeinu agrees. How did Aaron HaKohen paskin halacha without asking his Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu taught him all the Torah that he knew. If Nadav and Avihu were wrong in Chayav Nisa to paskin the halacha that has to do with the practice, their own personal practice in the Mishkan, if they were wrong in Chayav, how did Aaron HaKohen on the same day go to paskin halacha on his own? And if he was allowed to, for whatever reason you might offer, why doesn't that reason apply to Nadav Avihu? Zorachi and Gadol, and with that, I bid you all a happy, a gezunta, a heilige Shabbos, kol tov.